I like, I'm on holiday instead of vacation.
I like holiday.
Holiday.
Whoever said that?
I also like...
English.
Oh, is that all English?
I think so.
A drag? Is that what they say for cigarette?
They call cigarettes fags, actually.
Yeah.
I think, don't they?
Or do you want to take a drag? Can I take a drag?
Take a drag. I don't know.
Like a hit?
Isn't that the old joke? The dog was without legs was called cigarette. You took him out for a drag.
Is that really the joke?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that might be the joke. Nothing?
What?
Nothing at all?
No.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
I like it.
You are not doing this.
He is.
This is Whiskey Town.
One of my favorite songs ever.
Yeah. They're not even a band anymore, so what can they do? Right? And if, once again, if Ryan calls us up and says, hey, stop playing our music, we'll go, well, while we've got you on the phone, why don't you be on the podcast, right? For 16 days.
I got 16 days. One for every time I'm gone away. One for every time I should stay.
I detest country music.
This is not country music.
Yet
this
I love
Western.
This.
This is Western.
This is Americana. This is whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Country music is what you hear on the radio. That's pop music.
Well, nowadays, but I'm not a big fan of the slide guitar or
oh,
slide
I am.
Twang. Mm-hmm. Oh, that twang.
That twang.
Like who? Like what? When you hear that, who do you think of?
I don't know.
You don't know, but you
I
know just, you don't like
I
it.
I know I don't like it.
Mm.
Yeah,
like
country music today is basically, a lot of it is rock with a little bit of...
I think of Ernest Tubb.
Twang.
You do? Do you like Dolly Parton?
No, I don't like her voice at all.
I love Dolly Parton.
I love her.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, she's just got to be one of the sweetest people.
I got to walk her in the building years ago.
Now those are big old boobs.
Yeah, but still, she's just a sweet lady.
Yeah, she is. Like her personality is as big as her boobs.
And her waist is about,
yeah,
I don't know, like 16 or something.
I think she wears one of those rope things.
Corset?
Yep. It's a rope thing. It's a rope.
Spanx.
Hi, it's the Off the Air Podcast. I'm Chick. That's Jess. There's Jason. We're fresh off our live broadcast at the Indiana State Fair.
I'm still tired. Were you guys exhausted when
you
got home?
A little tired,
Sunday
yeah.
morning, I got up and what did I do Sunday morning? Oh, I went to the grocery store and I'm walking around the world's most confusing grocery store. And I thought.
It's not though.
Is that the grocery in the round?
Yeah, the grocery in the round.
Do you like that one?
It's okay.
I like it.
It's all right.
I never remember where anything is. And I don't know. I mean, they've got dairy.
There's big signs.
Yeah, there are signs. In your defense, it's when I would make you a list to go to the grocery store, I would put it in the route of that you would travel through the grocery store.
Right.
But then I would put stuff like milk, eggs, bread.
Hairy balls.
It just put weird things in the middle of them. One time I put a panty liner in his wallet so that when he pulled out his money, you'd pull out a panty liner.
That's funny. Great.
Good times.
So we're at the state fair, and
and it was a couple weeks ago, let's be honest.
But I was so sore. My legs were sore from walking. What a big pussy.
I thought you worked out. I thought you were like on the treadmill daily.
Well, no, he lifts.
I lift.
Oh, you're a machine rat.
I lift.
Machine rat.
I'm ripped. I'm shredded, but I'm not cardioed. Is that what that
cardio.
Is?
Yes, you're not cardioed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I sat out on the deck yesterday. Waiting.
I called you.
Waiting. Yeah. I was about halfway into a bottle of vodka when you called, actually.
You're an ass bag.
And,
I was like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm on the deck.
And
waiting for my friends.
And they turned out they were a little late. So, what are you going to do?
Did they miss the beginning of football season?
No. No, they did not miss Oh, football's back, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Did
I know.
You see this?
I had
so
it on.
Excited.
I didn't watch it.
Who was it?
Well, the game that was a couple weeks ago that was just the
Cowboys
and
the Dolphins. Yeah.
Started it off. There's always one game, the Hall of Fame game.
You want me to be really honest?
Mm-hmm.
If I could pick my two least favorite teams in the NFL, that would be
that
it.
That would be it. Yeah.
Cowboys Definitely. And the Dolphins?
I don't know why.
What about the Patriots?
I don't really care. Okay. I've just never had an opinion about the Patriots. But growing up, I don't know what it is, but I've always disliked the Dolphins.
The Dolphins have a brand new uniform this year.
They do? How does it look? What color is it?
It's a little more simple.
It's more blue than...
Is it the aqua?
A little less aqua.
No, it's a little less aqua.
So it's more blue, like what kind of blue?
If North Carolina Tar Heels basketball had a football team, that
it would be that color.
That's what they'd look like a little bit.
Okay, you think so?
A little bit.
Should I Google this?
No.
And the the helmet.
You're right. I hate that team. Yeah, I don't know why I would care what they're wearing.
The Dolphins, the logo on the side of the helmet's different.
Oh, it is?
It's a more futuristic dolphin is what they said.
Like robot dolphin?
I don't know.
Like if they brought Flipper back and...
Do you ever start to say
like
something?
The dolphin that they gave the fake fin to in the movie with
Mike Myers?
No. The movie with...
I know what you're talking with Morgan Freeman.
The wormhole guy.
What's the name of that movie?
Flip. No.
Shawshank Dolphin.
Shawshank Dolphin.
Was it?
Shawshank Flipper.
They gave him a robotic flipper
and
so he could swim.
And that's a true story, right?
Is it a true story?
I don't know. It's like a new Free Willy, really. It's not, you know.
If you could have a robot, what kind of robot would you want?
A sex one.
Yeah.
A sex robot, sure.
Really?
I think everybody would want a sex robot.
That would be awful.
I'm horrible like at first time interactions with humans, so I would be really bad with a... He would go tell all of his robot friends that I wasn't that good.
Is it the reason is because it'd be instant access?
I don't know what it would
there'd
be.
There'd be no work.
There'd be no work to go into it.
They would say no?
Really? No challenge?
Yeah, there would be no, I don't know. But I'm horrible at picking up men. I've never been good at it.
People are so, you know, women are so soft and fluffy.
That's true.
And
sure
yeah, so he wouldn't appreciate me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't appreciate it.
How about that cop that was at the end of our state fair?
Oh,
broadcast?
Yeah. You still okay about that?
You guys, I'm going to be respectful. That's all I'm going to say.
Since when are you going to be respectful?
I'm being respectful to his wife.
Oh, was he married? I didn't realize that.
Yes, I asked if he had a ring, and he had a ring on, and so I was...
Speaking of the state fair, we need to thank Jenny Purcell at the
ADA.
Our
new best friend.
The American Dairy Association. We were at the Indiana Dairy Bar at the state fair.
Chick and I like a lot of people, and we're, to be honest, not that great of judging character. So it's like, we really like her, and she's really great. And then... It just, when Jason's like, I love her, it's like, okay, good. We got a good person. Because there's times where Jason will meet somebody and go, what the fuck were you guys thinking?
That guy's weird. What the hell's wrong with you, dude?
She's a dietitian.
She is a registered.
I didn't realize it till after that.
She's a registered dietitian.
I need to go talk to her.
Yeah. RD.
Yeah.
She's a busy lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her boyfriend, super great.
Oh,
what a fun guy.
Greg was, I felt bad because I set up and he was there eager to help. And I love it. You know, I would have been the same way. Whatever you
I would have helped. You wouldn't let me help.
No, I wanted you to walk around and you know.
That's true.
Show prep.
I got all sore though walking around.
Oh, God. Maybe, see, cardio is a little more important than lifting. Would you agree with me, Jess?
Especially with
your
heart.
Yeah.
Well. Dolphin tail, in case anybody is wondering.
Dolphin. There it is, dolphin tail. Thank goodness we got that all wrapped up. Anyway. Here we are,
and
thanks for downloading the podcast once again.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Our guest this week is the one, the only, the comedian, and we don't know a lot about him. He's Dave Landau. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Chick?
I'm good. That's Jess.
Hi, how are you? Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
And
Hi.
This is Jason. I think you met Jason earlier.
Yes, Jason, we've met.
Quick friends.
And quick friends. And you're from Michigan.
Yes, I am.
I'm from Ohio, so we can't be friends.
No, we can't. I'm afraid not. What part of Ohio?
Central Ohio.
Oh, there you go.
Right there near Columbus.
Is that what it is?
C-L-U-M-B-U-S.
The biggest rival in pretty much college football.
College football. Well, yeah, maybe in football. I don't know. Yeah.
Which one?
Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan. Okay. I didn't know if it was Michigan or Michigan State.
Although I was a Michigan State guy, so.
You were?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, is that why you and Dave Dyer are friends?
Above several reasons. I mean, I went to the local community college, but I partied at Michigan State.
wait a minute. That's like me saying I went to Ohio State, but
a
community college near there is what I actually did. I was supposed to go to Ohio State.
You were there. You were registered.
Yeah, I was all set to go. And actually, I was on campus at Ohio State the senior year of my high school more than I was after I graduated.
I could have gone to state, but I figured what was the point of really getting a bachelor in theater and film? Like, pretty much just get the...
Right.
The associates. I was kind of good at that point, I thought.
So you have a degree in theater?
And film, yeah.
And film.
Yeah, well, I have a 2 certificates of achievement.
That sounds like a weekend thing.
It's not. It's pretty much like I learned film and theater and nothing else. Like, I just refused to take any.
There were no
class.
Core classes.
Right.
Right.
See, you know more. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
College life.
I went to Ball State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Women's studies major. I told Jenny that at the podcast the other day, and she was like, are you serious? She thought it was a joke. She's like, do you have a punchline? I was like, nope, that's the truth.
And that's what I did.
Well, didn't you change your...
I changed my major a bunch my freshman year. I changed my major for a guy. I changed my major so I would be in the same classes with a guy. I was a criminal justice. I came home, and I told my dad, I changed it over the summer. So I took 2 criminal justice classes over the summer, and I came home, and I was like, I changed my major criminal justice. My dad goes, are you serious? He was like, why don't you just enroll in the police academy if that's what you're going to do? You can't be a cop. Be serious.
Those were fun classes, though.
They were fun classes, and we would drink with our professor afterwards. We would go to B-dubs and drink with our... It was a great time.
Yeah,
I did a
serial killer class, and it was pretty awesome.
I learned a lot, actually.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
A serial killer class?
Yeah, criminal justice is pretty fascinating.
It is. It's good.
I've always been on the other end of it, but it was fun to learn.
Do you learn like tendencies and things like that?
And profile.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like
there
the psychotic.
There is
mind
a profiling and... class, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like how their mind works and stuff like that.
They all think kind of similar
and it's pretty creepy.
And then you realize who the people in your family are that are criminals or could be criminals.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Very easily. And it's usually the ones that have already been to jail, so it's not that tough.
Yeah, it's a common like antisocial behavior.
If you didn't have radio, you'd probably be a criminal.
Me?
Yeah.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
I think she's right.
Yeah, see?
What did I do? I'm just sitting here.
No, you haven't done anything, but that's the thing. Because you have radio, you didn't become a criminal.
Yeah.
Like a master criminal, though. Like, that could be a good thing.
Oh, like an evil genius or something.
Right,
oh,
right, absolutely. Right, right.
Or like a painting thief.
Yeah.
With like a lair and a...
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like and laser beams and
like that. Like the guy in Despicable Me. Like, he was a bad guy, but he actually was a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a evil criminal with a heart of gold.
Exactly.
That's me. That's pretty much me.
No, I'm with you. That's the thing about Dave. He has such a, you know, guy next door.
You're not anything that I expected.
But you expected more of a party animal looking.
I did. He's kind of grungy.
Mild-mannered.
Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
And it's total. I didn't even hear your voice this morning. It's totally based off your name. Isn't that terrible?
No, I understand. Most people, when they look at me, they don't assume I'm a comic because I look like a golf caddy, and then when I get up on stage, I'm a different thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have this like mild-mannered thing when you deliver comedy?
Kinda. Yeah? I'm more amped. I mean, you have to be.
Right.
But yeah, no, I'm definitely not what people think.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Is that bad or good?
No.
Well,
I just thought,
you.
I totally thought that he was going to be either way younger or way older. I didn't expect him to be what he looked like. Yeah.
What do I look like? How old?
About 30.
Okay.
Like, I would even go like 26 to 30.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But you were expecting a 35 to 40-year-old taller, grungier guy. Is that what you were expecting?
Like, more of a party animal.
Yeah, like 40-ish and really weathered, and you're not that. You just look like a regular 31-year-old guy.
I used to be. Like, when I quit drinking and smoking, I definitely gained some, like, skin color back.
Sure,
you know, as you do.
Some pigment, yeah.
Yeah, like, I definitely used to be a party animal, but I was always pretty calm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So have you sworn off drinking?
Yeah, I quit a couple years ago.
Like, done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely done forever.
I mean, you never say never, but I mean, but...
So, it typically in these situations, there must have been some incident.
Yeah, well, when I was a
kid...
I'm
quitting, that's it! Yeah. She's not going to live!
Yeah,
stuff
well,
like that.
The breathalyzer in my car was definitely not a fun one.
But, okay.
Yeah, well, I was arrested a lot as a kid. A lot. Like, 13 times a lot.
But a lot, like, under 18 kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was just arrested once as an adult, and after that, I was like, you know what, I don't want to drink anymore.
Have you ever been arrested, Jess?
No.
Never been in jail?
No. Not even,
even with all your speeding tickets.
No, fuck no. I've never been to jail.
Not even for speed, not for several of them.
No, I've had I had 9 speeding tickets before I was 18. But when you turn 18,
she got 2 speeding tickets in 6 weeks.
That's not
incredible.
No, it's not that bad.
Or was it 4 weeks?
Must be awful.
Yeah. It was. It's not anymore. I mean, that was all before I was 18. My dad wanted to strangle me. Yeah, but I didn't.
I would imagine.
Yeah. No, I've never been. I've run from the cops a lot, but I've never been arrested.
That is always fun.
Yeah.
You know, that'll get you in jail if they catch you.
You ran from the cops?
Uh-huh.
What did you do when the cops came and you ran and got away?
I did. I got away.
Maybe you'd like... You'd fit into my evil empire if I become a master criminal.
That's
and get
true.
Out of the radio.
I was a getaway driver once, and then I was the lead through a
getaway driver.
Yeah,
I heard her.
I was a getaway driver, and then another.
Wait a minute. What were you getting away from?
From the police.
No, but what crime was being committed that you had
underage drinking?
Like out in the field, or
no? Like at a house and
at a house, the police showed up and
Matt.
Those are usually the hardest to get away, too.
Pfeiffer?
So
yes. I was with him and all of my friends.
So did you, you had the car set up to where it was? You know,
I had my boyfriend's truck and I jumped in it.
Where it was ready to go?
It was just like all of these people jumped in the back of the truck. And
you drove away from it?
I drove away.
That's ballsy.
So you turn this truck over, you're flipping people out the back of the truck.
I don't know. By the time I stopped, there was only one person still in the back of the truck, and it's because he passed out. Everybody else had jumped out of the truck at some point. And my friend Brent jumped out of the truck and took off. And there's a part of the Ball State campus that has huge iron rod fence, and it's like pointed at the top. And he tried to jump over the fence, impaled himself in the inner thigh, and was hanging from the fence when the police found him and took him to the hospital. And he called us. We had to go get him. It looked like a gunshot wound in his thigh.
Yeah, there was.
It was terrible.
There was a 300-pound girl at one of my house parties when I was in high school who ran, and she went to jump over the wooden fence, and the fence broke, and she flipped around, so she was literally stuck in the fence. So the cops had to come and saw her out.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome.
I don't think we should be laughing.
No, it was really funny. It was,
I bet it was funny.
I still have the article.
There was an article?
Yeah.
With picture?
They put it in the paper?
They did not have a picture, but I used to collect the articles of the house parties and stuff I was at that were busted. I had 40 in my room.
You totally don't seem that guy. You know.
You seem like a regular guy.
You seem like
I
a
am,
quiet,
no.
well-respected,
you almost seem
mature
like,
individual.
No, I am, yeah.
If I could guess your hobbies.
Okay.
Are you a comic book guy?
A little bit.
Are you a video gamer?
No.
No. Okay. That's all I have.
I don't dislike
you
them.
Knit? You like to knit? Just,
I'm a big knitter. I make sweaters for all kinds of people, mm-hmm, that sort of mm-hmm, a thing.
Mm-hmm. You have a wife.
I do have a wife, yes.
Do you have a child?
No.
Not yet. No. Any minute, actually.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Oh, you're working on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not any minute, she's due.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I just found out I'm going to be an uncle, so that'll be
good
training.
Oh, that'll
training.
Be fun. Yeah. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
I just have one brother.
Oh. He's a twin, though.
Yeah.
You're a twin?
Yep.
Fraternal?
Yes. My brother is about a foot taller and has red hair.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's the Landau you were thinking. Yeah.
Maybe it was. I should look him up.
He is the Landau you've envisioned, actually,
really?
If you're talking about a crazy party animal.
Now, is
yeah.
he still crazy party animal?
Yeah, but he manages, he makes a lot of money. He
right.
does mortgages. He's uh-huh. very well off. But yeah,
he's
insane.
That, yeah, he's that guy that makes a ton of money and then can party.
Yeah, he's a guy who, every few, now he has a girlfriend, which is crazy to me, because usually it's some, stripper, and it's what are you doing? Mm-mm. You're just going to get herpes. But he's always been now his big drink is scotch. So he tries.
Oh,
to be,
he's moved up.
But he tries to be a gentleman about it. So you pay $110, but you still drink the whole fifth an asshole.
Yeah.
Scotch a gentleman or an asshole. Right. You pick and take your pick.
Yeah. Oh wow. My gosh.
Wait a minute.
He has a girlfriend.
But yes.
Is he calmed down?
Is it a stripper?
Slightly. No, it's not this time, which is good news.
Well, good news since she's carrying his child.
They would never bring him home to my mom. That's
strippers
how you knew.
Can have babies too. Come on.
And many.
Sorry. Guess.
Does she know about the prior strippers?
My mom?
No.
No. The current girlfriend.
Girlfriend
with child.
Oh, I'm sure.
The mother of your nephew.
You know what? If you date a guy, you can look at a guy and go, he's probably dated a couple of strippers.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it's my wife's brother who's having the kid.
Oh, it's
yeah,
that side.
I realize I didn't explain. explain that properly.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
That's on my other side. Yeah, my brother has kids. He just doesn't know where they are. But I promise you,
no,
there's
shit.
A couple that are just going to knock on his door one day and be like, hey, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
And how weird would it be? But I bet genetics come through and the kids look like you.
That would be creepy.
Yeah.
Then I have to explain myself to my wife. Like, no, it wasn't me.
So how long have you been married?
6 years in October.
Wow.
All right.
I got married at 25.
And how long have you been sober? 2 years.
Well, supposed to be four, but yeah, about two.
It's supposed to be four?
Relapses here and there.
Here and there?
Let's try, yeah. Like, I've never...
We're having a drink after this.
Oh, right, there you go. Well, I've never let it, like, affect my comedy or anything. Like, I've always been good pretty much in my adulthood. Mm-hmm. But once I got stopped a couple years ago, I kind of swore it off after that.
I used to blow in those car starters for $20 when we were in college. If somebody had one, I'd be like, can you blow it? I'm like, yeah.
Jonagan had to start mine once. I used mouthwash, and I walked out of a condo, and I blew like a .1. I'm like, hey, dude, where are you? And he ran from this hotel like 2 miles and like made it like 18 seconds before my car would have been stuck in Omaha.
Oh, my God.
Those things are so sad. And by the way, if that's illegal, that's a joke and a story.
Yeah, we made that up for the purposes of comedy. Right.
You know Jonagan, huh?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
He's a good dude. Funny as hell.
Yeah, he's the best.
I miss him.
I miss Tommy. Yeah.
I miss him. Sorry.
And when he was here on the podcast, he was sick.
He was sick.
Yeah, and he's still
he was sick.
Soldiered through.
Yeah, and I saw a picture of his baby the other day, and it's like
is that
cutest
the perfect
baby. It's the most perfect cute baby you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Her
she's
eyes beautiful. And she is beautiful.
She's not a baby Lord. Anymore. Is
she's
she?
Like the perfect. She's gonna be a year old soon,
okay.
Right?
She's only one. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But one. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
God, is that right?
That's sweet.
That can't be
so
right.
You and Tommy are about the same age, right?
Yeah, if he's maybe a couple months younger than me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
okay.
We're about the same age.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, how did you meet Tommy?
Years ago, he had opened for me in Erie. Mm-hmm. And then he just took off to stardom, and I've opened for him a bunch of times.
Isn't that weird?
But yeah, we just clicked. And I mean, even then, he wasn't nearly what he is now, but just what he was doing then. I'm like, that guy is going to be huge.
I think everybody said that. We saw him at
the jukebox in Peoria.
And they had stacked up half the chairs in the room. Like, that's how many people were there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's like, this was early on.
Yeah, this was 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And he was like, well, this is encouraging. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
He was so funny about it.
Oh,
naturally.
My gosh. He was.
I need this.
Yeah.
Like, he was just doing, working at Applebee's material.
Right.
And just, like,
right,
you know, having
right.
sex with one of the waitresses and saying that was his best Apple buddy ever. It just killed me. Like, he's just so funny.
What did you do before you decided to be a comedian?
Right out of high school, I joined the Second City, actually, where I was an improviser and an actor, and then I went to theater school. So,
wow.
Yeah, I met my wife and a couple friends when we were writing like sketch comedy shows, and they liked my writing and kind of pushed me into stand-up when I was 21.
Wow.
So I kind of joined. I spent 5 years in high school, and after that, I didn't really have, like, really, I always knew I wanted to do something, like, with acting or, you know, that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I immediately jumped into that. And I mean, I've just had random jobs from detailing cars to waitering to selling luggage, just random crap. But now I get to do this, so it's really nice.
Yeah.
You a Samsonite man?
I am. Toomey used to be good. Then they started making it overseas. I know a weird amount about luggage. If you want,
bring it.
Briggs and Riley, my friend. You can get bulletproof on that. That's a good thing to check.
What about
Briggs and Riley?
I have a Hayes carry-on. You ever heard of that one?
No.
Yeah, it's like
that's because he got it at TJ Maxx. Nobody's ever heard of it.
TJ Maxx, though, does have some stuff.
They do.
Every now and then. Remember, we saw a bag at TJ Maxx that had all the positions of the Kama Sutra as the lining. Remember this in that bag?
Yeah, it was a piece of luggage, and it was like Asian, like, Kama Sutra on that line the inside
Did
of the luggage.
You should have bought
it. We should have bought it, and we went back the next day, and it was gone. I was so disappointed.
Somebody else got it and ran with it.
Hmm. Yeah, they have good stuff, like everything I'm wearing.
I know, that's I'm on a big TJ Maxx kick right now. Marshalls,
I just get, like, you can get a pair of, like, $200 jeans for $30, and I just go and get them tailored if they're too big.
I did that with a pair of Lucky jeans I got for $15.
Right, yeah, it's the best ever.
Yeah.
Did you take that to Mrs., what's her name?
Her name is...
Here we go.
Nah.
Oh, that's right. Nah.
Nah, is the lady.
Nah.
Nah.
So what's the markup on luggage? Pretty high,
100%, right?
Pretty wacky, yeah. I'll be honest. Like, purses is insane.
Yeah, well, like, it's women. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at the way that what a purse cost, and I remember going to my boss and being like, can I just have one of these? It's not going to affect you at all. And he's like, yeah, all right. And I got my wife a really expensive purse just by asking my boss for
it. Right, because it cost him $10 or something.
Yeah, like nothing, dude. Nothing. It's crazy how little those things cost. Huh.
That's crazy.
Didn't you say you worked at Brookstone at one point, and that's all marked up too, right?
Oh, it's insane how much that stuff's marked up. Yeah, but I sold the mattresses. I sold the Tempur-Pedic mattresses there.
How do those exist in airports?
I don't, because there's so much of that stuff that you buy and you grab and you need for that one trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like
the speakers, neck pillows or chargers.
Yeah, that's true. Because like toothpaste is $19. That's why like electronics, I don't even bother looking.
Yeah, I don't know. The guy that worked there when I worked there in college still works at the one at the airport.
He does.
Mm-hmm. And every time I go through there, he always is like, hey.
Still.
Jess was working at the Brookstone at a shopping mall, and I walked in one day.
It was at Circles. I worked downtown at Circle Center, and it was a big weekend because Chick came in on Friday. And
we didn't know each other.
No, I didn't know him at all, but I was like, I knew him because I had listened to the show. And
and who else?
And then...
not quite as famous as me, but...
Hold on. Steve Perry. No.
Brett Michaels?
No.
No.
The guitar guy for Aerosmith.
Oh, Joe Perry.
Joe Perry, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Joe Perry came in and he had his kids with him and they were like, can we get this? And he's like, I'm not spending any more fucking money tonight. You know, he was walking around with a cane and I was like, you have more money than Jesus. How can you not get your kids these fucking earbuds, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was funny. It was just funny to see him in that, and he's as tall as me. He's like, he's a little guy.
All rock stars are teeny tiny.
A lot of actors are too, which makes me feel really good at 5.5 feet tall, actually.
Is that a true story? 5.5 feet?
Yeah, I'm 5.5 feet tall.
5.5 feet tall.
Which is nice when I see that actors are little too, and I'm like, oh, I might have a chance.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise is that tall, right?
Yeah, a lot of them. Al Pacino.
Hmm.
But you know what? I would never, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I would assume that they're under like 5'7". I don't know.
5'7.5".
5'7.5". Mm-hmm.
Have you ever auditioned for a sitcom or anything? Because you have a look like you could be in, you know, you could have been one of Ray Romano's friends or something.
You could come in and start catchphrases like, it's not my fault, you know,
yeah,
something
it's
like
the wacky
that.
Neighbor, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Ray. You know, stuff like
did that. I do that? Did the Urkel?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I have auditioned for a couple things, but normally I've written 4 sitcoms myself that I've tried to sell. I was big into sketch. I had luck with In Living Color last year, but they pulled the show like immediately.
They were going to do another In Living Color.
Yeah, they were going to redo it. Then they decided to do a special with the old cast, which that's almost impossible because nobody would want to do it.
No, none of the cast speaks to each other. Except
I want to be a fly girl.
And
a fly girl.
I do
want to be a fly girl.
And then they wanted to do 2 specials with a new cast, which who the hell would watch that? And then it stopped existing after that point.
They could do it with all the kids from the old cast, right?
I guess you could. I mean,
like
you have
Jim Carrey's daughter and
Damon Wayans
and all of the
kid.
Wayans. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the one Wayans is on Happy Endings.
Does
he's
Jim
good.
Carrey have a daughter?
Mm-hmm. He does. He's a granddad.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is her name like Mary or something? Mary.
I want to say it's Mary Jane.
Mary Carey?
That's possible.
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey. Is that scary? Oh, no, that's a porn.
Or is it Harry?
Porn actress.
Whatever.
Mary Carey is a porn.
Mary Carey is a porn or a porn actress?
She's a porn actress, right? Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
That's kind of scary.
And a reality show actress.
That sounds like a scary name. Like, that sounds like, what is the thing that we used to look in the mirror and say and scare the shit out of us?
Bloody Mary?
Mary? That's a sorority thing.
Helter Skelter?
Or a sleepover
But what is
girl
that?
Thing.
What would we say? We'd look in the mirror and say something. Something.
Ours is always Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary?
Yeah, the movie Candyman was kind of based on that idea, too.
Really?
Yeah. Bloody Mary, though, I remember.
You say it in the mirror and then she appears. Or
3 times and then they kill you.
That's right.
I still can't go in the bathroom without the lights on. Just because of shit like that when I was a kid.
Weird. I almost did that last night. It's odd that you're talking about it because it just popped in my head and I was like, what if I did that right now?
Okay. Like, what would happen?
Yeah.
Oh, that still scares
me. What's your favorite movies? I mean, not to make, but to go see. Are you a horror movie guy? Or
I'm everything, honestly. Yeah. Like, if it just looks good, like, I want to see the movie you just saw, The Two Guns, just as bad as I wanted to see The Way, Way Back. Like,
sure.
I just like anything that seems entertaining to me. Like, mm-hmm. I try to not be that snob where it's like, I like independent because a lot of it's shit and just art house crap, mm-hmm. but yeah. some of it's ingenious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like masquerading as a mm-hmm. work yeah. of art, but it's not. Yeah.
Like, I love, like, just the other day I was watching On Deadly Ground with Steven Seagal because it's just amazing. And then, like, he has this huge, like, talk with all the Eskimos at the end. And
That's
it's
right.
just, it's the shittiest thing imaginable. And
have
I just
you
love
seen
it.
Will Sasso? He was on one of those shows, wasn't he on?
Mad TV.
Yeah. Will Sasso is Mad TV, and mm-hmm. But he vines all the time.
He is very funny.
He has Steven Seagal as his favorite colors. Like blue, red, yeah. turquoise. He squinches his face up. It's just hilarious. You have to watch that, I guess.
I like him.
He's good.
Sasso.
I do
yeah.
too.
Yeah, he's good. Huh. So do you, are you, you live in Michigan right now?
I'm living in Detroit right now, yeah.
But your wife lives?
In Detroit.
Oh, I thought she lived in, weren't you?
I was in LA all last year because yeah. I was doing like just random punch-up
stuff.
Because
the last time you were on the show, you were like, you were there and she was somewhere else.
In Detroit.
Detroit, yep.
Detroit.
And then I had to go back for a couple of things and.
Court appearances?
No, yeah.
You wish?
No, not I wish, but, well, kind of, yeah. While I was there, like, I took one of the scripts I was trying to sell in L.A., and we had, like, some luck with it. Like, I shouldn't say some luck, that's bullshit, but we had pitches and low, low offers, mm-hmm. and I love the script, so we decided, like, why don't we just make this? And that's why I'm staying there right now, is because I'm going to make a film.
Oh.
Right, up in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good. So do you need... You need any actors? Or?
Oh, I would take anybody. Yeah. It's so low budget, though. Yeah, I would feel weird offering it to people. Like, we're doing it for like 10 grand.
Oh, my gosh. That hardly covers a day of craft service.
I know. Yeah, it's very. We
and
have
you're,
a.
You're shooting it in Michigan?
Yeah, we're shooting it all over Detroit.
All over Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What? Oh, you, or do you want to keep it secret?
No, I can disclose some of it.
All right, go ahead.
It's basically. You want to know what it's about or where we're shooting?
Everything.
Well, we're shooting around Detroit, you know, because there's really no cops left there to stop us.
Right.
So
is it as crazy there as we're all hearing it is? Or
it is and isn't. Like, yeah. I mean, I love the city because it's where I grew up. I
right.
mean, I love living there. But I live on the west side in the suburbs. Not the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there is literally parts where they've shut down every police station and their motto is enter at your own risk. But if you know the way around Detroit,
right.
I mean, it doesn't really bother you. I would feel bad for out-of-town people. Like, where the hell are we? Why is everything burnt down? You know,
oh,
like...
Oh, my God.
And the thing is, it's a city built for 12 million people with 750,000 living in it.
Right.
So you're going to go bankrupt at some point because there's literally no money. And then half the people there are, you know, destitute. So it's not like there's a ton of money going to the city.
Are you just throwing that number out for effect or is that true?
That's what I've heard. Like, I know that when it
was... It used to be 12 million.
It used to be... It was called the Paris of the Midwest, and with the auto company there, it was a huge city.
Right.
I mean, even the days of, like, Motown and everything, it was a massive city.
Yeah.
And now they're... You know, when the riots happened in the 1960s, there was white flight, and there's no way to pepper that up. That's just what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Detroit's very segregated. The inner city's very black. The suburbs are very white. It's more so than anywhere else in this country.
Okay.
And you know, there's so many abandoned areas that have, and then there's Devil's Night, which is a pre-Halloween right. thing every year where they burn houses to the ground. So there are areas that are completely abandoned. I mean, Rolling Stone did an article recently about how there's like 500 stray dogs per square mile. And a lot of the houses there literally are just filled with like pit bulls and animals and stuff like that because there's no animal control.
Sure.
And I've seen it. Like, I used to work in an upscale luggage store downtown, which made no sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I would go outside when I smoked to have a cigarette and there'd be like 9 pit bulls walking around and I'm like, yeah, I'll just go back inside till that passes.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary, but I mean, it's the city that I love and the downtown area is where they focus everything. It's mm-hmm. where Ford Field is.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Comerica Park is. It's where the theater district is. So everything's focused in downtown, but there's a huge city left that's not in that little
right.
area that's not being, you know,
used.
Cared to at all.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if it wasn't for little restaurants in Corktown, because they ripped down Tiger Stadium, that place would be gone. I mean, half those businesses closed when they moved Tiger Stadium.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucks.
Are there literally blocks where they just bulldozed
houses down. I mean, I've heard that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just blocks and blocks of that.
Fields of it, man.
Fields of it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, wow. Well, and here's the thing. There's blocks and blocks of what should be bulldozed down. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy part, too. Like, it's just standing.
I don't mean to be comical about this, but it almost seems like Devil's Night actually might have a purpose.
No, we've always said that. Yeah. We're like, the only thing is hopefully it burns to the ground as opposed to just halfway, and then it's left as an eyesore.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, obviously we can't solve it here, but what, how do they fix it?
That's the thing is, I don't know how to fix it because Detroit itself, like you talk about the auto companies, you talk about everything else. Well, they don't really manufacture everything in the city.
Right.
You know, a lot of it is, and some of it is, I mean, like the Rouge River plant and all kinds of stuff, but a lot of it is way, way far away from there, just in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So really, like, I don't understand how you could solve it, to be honest, because you'd have to get people who want to go there, and you'd have to bring an economy with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these cute ideas like, well, we'll just, you know, build crazy cool lofts for people to live in, which is fine if you're talking about Brooklyn or something where there's a city surrounding it.
Right.
So people have done that, and there's a lot of empty lofts for sale. And then the housing, they hope, well, it's dirt cheap. Somebody will buy something. I mean, I have a friend who got a 5-bedroom gorgeous brick house, and I think he paid $5,000.
No way.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean the area it's
where
in,
it is.
Right.
Yeah, you take your life into your hands, going to your house and or coming home or
Jeez, 100%. And even areas now that are suburban, people have moved into, and you know the plight and everything is moving inward. So like a lot of areas are getting bad while other areas are trying to get better. So it's like if you have a bad area becoming good and a good area becoming bad, it's just the same balance. It's just different places, you know? So
what a bummer.
So crime and drugs and everything
it's
huge. Is just big time.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, again, it's like, it's weird to say, it's still the city I love. Like nothing makes me feel home like Detroit, but it's also hard to say, it's hard to just pretend that there's not a serious reality that it needs to be fixed. And like our last mayor sitting in prison in Texas.
Right, yeah.
You know, the mayors before that were the most corrupt motherfuckers on the planet. Right. Like, it's really...
So, I mean, this was inevitably going to happen, kind of.
It's been collapsing in on itself. And it's like, I drive a Chevy. Like, I love American cars because I'm from there. But I also can't deny the reality that, you know, half of them are built in Mexico and like other stuff like that. And if we really had jobs there for people to come to, we could build a city back. But it's like, what can we actually manufacture and make? And if we knew how to fix that, how are we going to fix America's economy at that point? You know, because the whole country's kind of screwed on jobs and manufacturing and everything like that to let alone save a city right now. I just don't see how it's possible.
So how did it all start? Was it the auto industry when it started to not become or not be as, I mean, the
prevalent,
the imports kind of encroached on the American cars, and Detroit kind of just suffered right along with the auto industry. Is that how it all started?
That's a big part of it. I mean, I'd say it all started in the riots in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Where if you even watch footage of that, I mean, there was the race riots that started in an after hours club. And that, I mean, so many houses were burnt to the ground. So many people were just like killed that people just started leaving the city. And that was the first thing that kicked it all off. And honestly, nothing's been able to rejuvenate since that. But the 90s, I mean, anybody in here drive a 90s car made in America? For the most part, they were all pieces of shit. So it's like if you own like a 98 Grand Am or like, I have a LeBaron right now I bought for my movie. I can't even imagine how angry you would be if you actually bought this car, you know, because it's such a piece of, and we made crap because we thought people would just buy it. And while we made crap, you know, Mercedes and Toyota and Honda figured out how to make cars that people actually buy.
You can't kill them. You know, you can't kill a Honda. Honda will run forever.
For 300,000 miles. So
you want to buy the car that shakes apart at 80,000 or you want to buy the, you know, and now they're coming back. I mean, the new Taurus, I have the Malibu, all kinds of stuff. They're gorgeous cars now, but just that little bit is not going to fix everything to make up for 12 years of not caring about what the public wanted, you know.
So what's your movie about? I mean,
My movie's about,
the funny side of Detroit?
Yeah. Well, it is basically based on all real people or people you would meet in Detroit. It takes place in 1999. It's about a kid who gets his first car, and it's a part of a graduation present on his 18th birthday. So he immediately meets up with his friends who are all based on my friends and goes into the ghetto to buy beer. And that's what we would do is like the 8 Mile where I grew up is kind of a dividing line where there's one good side and one really awful side once you get farther down. Mm-hmm. So we would just go from the suburban side into the ghetto side, find a homeless dude, pay him some cash, drive right back into the suburban side. And eventually I had a fake ID, which, I mean, I clearly was 17.
Right.
And they were just
still look 17.
You look, right.
Yeah. 17, I can't imagine how young you look.
Looked ridiculous. Like, even when I look at it now, I look like I'm 12.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm walking into a ghetto liquor store, like, yeah, you know, just these.
I'd like it.
Just these two cases of beer, my good man. You know?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So, like, it's based on that, and it's based on going into the ghetto, and then what happens if all hell breaks loose.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, you run into the wrong people.
So is it a comedy?
Yeah. It is a comedy, yeah. Okay. It's dark. I mean,
It sounds scary.
It goes into a new level of darkness while still maintaining the comedy. Like, dialogue is so important to me, too, that I wanted to make it have very real 90s dialogue and very youthful dialogue, because you're stupid at that age, but you think you're a genius. Mm-hmm. So I was very careful to use that, and then I had to look up 90s words that I had forgot, you know?
Like, I want to know, I graduated in 2000, so I want to...
That's when I did.
Yeah.
Like, straight merkin was one.
I don't remember that one.
Chicken head, I'm trying to think of other
stuff. Chicken head.
Chicken head, I remember, somebody was a chicken head, you would call them.
Yeah, maybe. Chicken head, there was, I'm trying to think of just names you would use too. Creepin'.
Creep, yeah. Well, oh, that's like the TLC song.
Yeah, like there's all these words that...
All of a sudden, it's like they're foreign language over there, yeah.
Well, yeah. Are you going to play Creed as your soundtrack?
Well, what's cool is we actually put out emails to all these people to see if they would donate. Uh-huh. And the guy from Searching for Sugar Man, who's from Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Their people got back to me, and I think they're going to donate something. But we found all these rappers, I kind of want a hip-hop soundtrack, a techno soundtrack, because that's what was popular.
Oh, like, God, raves.
Eminem.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I used to go to raves all the time.
Too.
Yeah, and... They remember the techno like this was the stupidest thing, speaking of which, that Ford ever did. They made a Focus called the Detroit Techno Focus. Like, they completely gave into the ecstasy drug culture and designed a car geared to people who were on the rave scene.
Wow. So now what was the rave scene?
They had a place to put your acid and your glow sticks.
So you had a glow stick and you did acid, and what else happened at the rave? You just spun around and drank a lot of water?
Drank a lot of water. Ecstasy was huge. Then, like, it had hit America like a ton of bricks. There's actually a great HBO documentary, if you ever watch it, called Small Town Ecstasy, about a dad who just got into ecstasy. He's a reverend's kid who's like bringing his 14-year-olds to raves, and they're like, couldn't you just be my father? And he's like, no, come on, let's dance. I got glow sticks.
Gosh, do you remember that you would put your glow sticks like this in your hands, right? And then somebody would be like this would be the other person, and you would just do this the whole time and fucking trip them out while they were on...
Like figure eights and stuff?
Yes, yes. It was just like, so you didn't really know all you saw, because it was completely dark in there with a few like black lights.
Yeah.
And it was usually in some abandoned, you know, factory or whatever.
It was always abandoned warehouses.
Yeah,
and like the one thing I hated was you would put Vicks VapoRub on your eyes.
Yeah.
Because it would make you see like colors.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and they would do that. They did that to me once and my eyes were on fire. I'm like, why would you do this to yourself?
Doesn't the Vapo part of the VapoRub, isn't it, what is that, eucalyptus or something?
It's the worst. It burns your face. And there's, but dude, if you walked into these parties in like 99, even at like friends' houses, you'd walk in and it's like, why is everybody wearing glow sticks? There's shit all over your face. You're sucking on pacifiers.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're all
worthless.
What was
that about? What was the pacifier
I never
thing
did
about?
That.
Sometimes the ecstasy would be cut with cocaine and stuff that you wouldn't know. So instead of chewing your face off, you would suck on a pacifier.
Because
it would give you like such severe lockjaw.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so how did a night of ecstasy progress? Okay, you take some, you do some glow stick, you have the stuff in your eye. Well, what's the end game here?
Your serotonin levels were so fucked by the end of the night. Like, the next day, you would be in a level of depression. Do you remember that? Like,
yes.
Just because it's screwed. I never did a lot of it. I hung out at the raves.
Like, I was going to say, I did it twice.
Yeah, like, I never liked it. The last time, I took it 5 times, and the last time, my body temperature dropped so bad. This was in, like, July. I turned blue. And I was walking around a party in a giant wool coat.
Because you were just so fucking cold.
Freezing cold. Like, it changed my body chemistry, and after that, I never touched it. But yeah, like a night of ecstasy would be, because I would go with my friends, like you would take a couple hits, go to a party, which usually you would drive into the worst neighborhood you can possibly. Okay. And it would be an abandoned warehouse. Mm-hmm. And they would have some lie there, like DJ Jazzy Jeff was always supposed to show up at these things.
And I don't think, I know, no, he's coming, man. He's going to be here.
Yeah, like you'd see flyers and it's like, how's he eight places in Detroit at once? You know, techno king, you know, and you show up and... It was never him, but it's just a room of people dancing with pacifiers in their mouth, mm-hmm. working glow sticks. And I mean, it hit the culture so hard. Like I said, there was the Focus car, the Detroit Techno Fest, the movie Go came out. Like it was Fatboy Slim and what was it, Bad Boy Bill?
Was there like strobe lights, you know? Was
everything. Yeah.
It sounds like one big seizure is what it sounds like.
It kind of is. Was. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like if you really want to kill some brain cells and not be the same person ever again, enjoy a night of ecstasy at a rave.
Yeah. Wow.
I ended up taking a cab home the last time I did it. Like I was like, this is like something bad's going to happen. Like I had enough wits about me to go get a cab and get home. Like,
yeah.
Just left the people there. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I need to be somewhere where if I die, someone will find me.
I mean, are you able and coherent enough to eventually hook up with someone at the end of the night, or are you just so screwed up?
Oh, yeah. Usually you're so lovey that you don't break apart from the people you're with. Because it's just like, oh, man, it's just great to hang out with you guys. Like, I mean, because I hate to say it, because it's not a homo slander or a gay slander. Like, it is just the gayest drug you could ever possibly do, just okay. in the sense of, like, you're sitting there with, like, your friends, like, arm in arm, like, yeah, this is cool, man. And it's like, this is not okay.
Like, I wouldn't do this, like, tomorrow.
No, it's
yeah. We would not be in this embrace.
No, ever. Like it's
that's fun.
And acid, there was one where I did a lot of that. But the last time I took it, there we had Jesus Christ hits. Uh-huh. Some guy goes, "Don't take more than one. It's very high powered." And I go, "Okay." So I took six.
Oh my god!
I tripped for 7 days. And that's when you, like, I kept thinking about, like, Syd Barrett and, right. you know, like, all these people. I'm like, I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. And, like, I remember I was in my basement and, like, I was watching a movie and it was with Dennis Leary and the wall became Dennis Leary and, like, this wood wall started talking to me. And it was the worst 7 days of my life. And after that, I came down and I was like, this is a miracle. And I never touched it again. But, yeah, it's all so horrible for you.
Did you sleep?
No, man, I was going nuts. Like, I had to have dinner with my parents. They looked like they were 9 feet tall, and my meal was like an inch. So I'm not really hungry. I'm trying to cut steak in Alice in Wonderland. It was the fucking worst.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I never liked it. Like, I was always like, maybe this time it'll be good. And it never was. It was always like these weird hallucinations. Yeah. And it was, I don't know why, but mine always went to something purple. Like, whenever I did it, it was always like a very specific.
Mine was red.
Yeah, it was just always, I don't know. And it was weird. And I've been in the hospital since. And when they've given me narcotics in the hospital, the exact same thing happens.
Yeah, and well, if it's a bad trip, that's the worst hallucinations because it's just your brain then making it worse and worse and worse because you're not having fun.
I just had never... I'd always heard that acid was your best value because it would last...
Oh, 8 hours.
Yeah,
and five
I mean,
bucks.
Whatever. You had a joint or whatever.
Best value.
Yeah, best value for your money because.
Did you learn that from Drew Hastings?
I think I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I did. But I think he was joking, but I think he's serious. I mean, you know?
It is. I mean, yeah, for $5, you are good for a night. I mean, you would, like, even for me when I was young, like, just because it's so intense, I would have to drink, like, you know, 6 beers just to put me down, you know, just because it stays in you.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's definitely the best value. The problem is when, like anything, if you abuse it, because people would say, you know, it expands your mind, man. You got to try it, and it's like, I don't think it does.
So after your 7 day thing, I mean, are you expanded? Are you depressed?
Obviously, you said you never wanted to do it. Like a day and a half. I finally passed out. Like I would try to. But I would see stuff like because when you mix sleep deprivation with a drug, I mean, 4 days in, dude, I thought like there were like people in my room talking to me and I knew they weren't there, but you just had to avoid it. And like there was a cross above my bed, so I kept seeing Jesus nodding at me. And I was like, this is the worst.
Oh my gosh.
And I never took it again. And I mean, I'd done it a lot, but I think I was 18 or 19 when that happened. And I was just like, I'm never, and I haven't since.
I always compared it to, I didn't know until later, but you know when, like if you go in for endoscopy or a colonoscopy, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other procedures, but they call it a twilight. Where it's like you're aware, but you're not.
But you don't give a
shit. But you don't. Like, well, you're aware enough for them to go, okay, roll over, put your arm up, do this, whatever. That's how I always felt like that was the thing. Like, I know there's not people there, but there might be people there. Like, it was always that weird, like you said, mm-hmm. like, there's people here, but I know there's not people here. I know it's totally me.
Your brain is just haunted with paranoia or the fact that you're being watched.
Yeah.
So again, your best value.
Your best value. Yeah.
I didn't know this much about the 90s.
The rave in 99.
I feel like we got gypped. I feel like of all the stuff that could have gone down, like we got raves and Chumbawamba, and that makes me
what's
angry.
Going down now? There's like Grunge. Nothing going down now.
Yeah, now,
now it's gaming and heroin. I don't know.
Like, heroin is the thing now.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is.
It's so cheap.
Yeah.
So. Which is shocking.
Another value.
It's a good deal, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worked out for everybody. Kurt Cobain, there's a laundry list.
People who love heroin. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah, then that's it. And so many suburban parents are like, drugs are in our, you know, well, bad news. They were there 10 years ago and they were there 20 mm-hmm. years ago. This isn't
it's
new.
Just different.
Yeah, well, it was just different.
Heroin was around. I mean, I have a few friends that died of that, and I didn't do it, thank God, but, the problem is they try to stop this shit, like the K2, the fake weed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like two kids did something crazy on that. So it's like, let's get every suburban parent together and stop this fake mm-hmm. weed. And it's like, do you know what's happening under your nose?
Right.
Like, this is the last thing to worry about, like everything that's available in a suburb. But now I don't know. I think kids don't have a connection with other people the way that they did. I mean, there's got to be some disconnect just in technology, texting. Like, could you imagine going mm-hmm. to a party now?
Right.
I mean, are people even looking at each other? Or are they staring at their phones?
There's no way.
Who are we talking? Bob Schneider, about how music is, it's not necessarily going for emotion anymore.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they don't want emotion in their music. They want to be as disconnected as possible.
Like it's just a background noise now.
Right.
You know, like there's no, like you don't buy a CD or you don't buy an album and feel like you've connected with the artist. It's like, this is my life. Everybody wants to know what I'm doing. I'm going to put it on Twitter and then Facebook and then Instagram and then this. But then I'm going to have this fucking Katy Perry song playing in the background. You know what I mean?
It's an empty beat. And some of the songs that do come out now that I do think are emotional and are good are kind of pushed to the back.
Oh, absolutely.
There is brilliant music out there, but mm-hmm. it's immediately
it's not cool.
No, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there is the heart. There is just the noise to jump up and down and hold your cell phone up instead of lighters. I fucking hate that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it funny that I don't know who said it, but somebody smarter than me said the sign of age is worrying about the declining morality of our youth. And it happens with every
generation.
My generation, your generation, Jace's mm-hmm. generation. Everybody's like, those damn kids. And now you two, who grew up in the 90s, are doing it about kids growing up in the teens. You know, those damn kids.
Mm-hmm. It is true, but there's something that has happened between my generation and the teenagers now. And even the early 20s now. I mean, they think that they're untouchable. Tommy mm-hmm. even touched on this, and he was like,
they're all
girls,
bulletproof, and they're all the most important people in the world.
And
yeah.
teenage boys think that they are untouchable.
Well, we've talked the sense of entitlement
that
you run
insane.
Into kids. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The narcissism
mm-hmm.
is insane.
Is.
Like mm-hmm. When I'll be at a club and there'll be an open micer who I want to say is maybe 19 or 20,
right. mm-hmm.
and he's just trying it out for the first time. The swinging dick on these people is incredible.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like headlining clubs and just some open micer show up like, yeah, you don't mind if I do 10 tonight? Like, who are you?
Motherfucker, you're glad I'm here.
Yeah,
okay?
that's how it is, though. It's entirely that attitude. Like, oh, man, I just kill. No, you don't. This is a process, man.
Does it go back to everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets?
I think that is because my generation wasn't.
Your generation was the last of like.
Right? Don't you agree?
First and second and third place, and they kept score. That was about the last generation.
You heard my jersey joke on the show today. I mean, that comes from a place of real value of my dad thinking that, you know, my dad loving my brother because he was a great athlete, and him being like, just play right field and don't drop the fucking ball. You know what I mean?
That's what he told you.
Well, you know, my dad was a great guy, but he knew, like, he's like, you're good at drawing and being funny.
Right.
You have to play sports because you need to meet people.
Right.
But you know what I mean? But he's like, you're not going to be an athlete, and that's okay. But he wasn't like, you're a champ, son.
Right.
Get out there and hit
like
a homer.
It is now. Yeah.
But isn't that, do you feel like you appreciate your dad more for doing that?
By far.
Yeah.
I don't, to convince every child that they're good at everything is psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even seem, how is that being sold to people? That this is what, telling my kid they're the best, I understand telling my kid you can do anything you want to do.
But you're going to have to work at it.
But you're going
to
have to work at it.
But they have, that's where it stops, is that there's no sense of hard work. Like it's my parents said I was good at it, so you give me that fucking trophy and I'm going to wear the jersey, and that's what's going to happen.
I plainly remember my dad looking at me during a summer. I was 16 or 17. He goes, you know, sitting on your ass on the porch is not going to get you a job.
Yep.
It just flat out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, and started crying, and I, you know, went out and detasseled corn or whatever.
First I cried.
And then I...
Yeah, well, and kids now, they, I guess, as I was reading this article, they break down at work. Like, if they are lucky enough to get a summertime job, which is rare because so many adults need it, if they get yelled at, they break down. And, yeah, I used to work for... my dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was 14, and they had to move to Boston. I went somewhere to make a little extra money just because I was, like, living with my aunt and stuff. So I worked for this company detailing cars.
Right.
And this dude owned it who was just, like... I'm half Italian, but he was, like, the most stereotypical, like, just mouthy Dago you could ever meet in your life. It's like, it was a step away from child abuse, but it's like, yeah, that's just... how he talks to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
A grown up. That's
absolutely.
Life.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah.
And you're tougher for it. You know, you can take it. Whereas these 20-year-olds, here's the problem. In 5 to 10 years, when things don't go their way, they, you know, their only support was their parents, and they're not going to have those connection with their friends and their little support system.
Right.
And they'll crush. They'll be crushed and crumble.
Yeah.
I think it's
going
to be a really hard fall for these kids.
I was at a party recently, and a girl, and I said, I recognize you. Like, it was a friend of a friend of a sister or something stupid. And I said, I recognize you from Instagram. She goes, yeah, I'm kind of famous. I was like, no, bitch, you're 22 and you think you are because you're on Instagram.
I'm kind of famous.
Let's go out.
I'm kind of famous.
Let's go in the front yard and I'll show you how famous you are. We'll put this shit on Vine.
You might have seen the pictures of my shoes on Instagram.
Yeah. I was just like, she was so serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And that's as narcissistic as if you think that you're famous for Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do.
Yeah, yeah.
They totally
do. I've got 1,000 followers on Instagram or however many it is.
It's their own reality TV. They're creating it. You know, that's what they watch. They want to be those people. Well, how can I do that?
Yeah.
They grew up with it. Oh, I can get an Instagram.
But do you remember reality TV? And this is another thing where it's like, well, my generation's better. But we had, it was Road Rules. To me, that was that, or Real World.
Real World.
Real World was the first reality TV, right?
Yeah. We were talking the gang, right?
What?
We were in middle school.
We were in middle school. I mean, come home from school and you watched MTV, Countdown.
Beavis and Butthead,
all of that stuff was when...
yep.
Which was a parody of yourself, but you were too dumb to know in middle school.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. And so it's... But there's kids, these 20-something, that's what they grew up with. There's always been reality TV.
No, there's a frightening survey, but I think it was kids in England, not America, but I don't remember. But it was, what were you going to be when you grew up? And 90% of them said reality stars.
Shut up.
Oh.
That's painful. That makes my stomach turn.
Yeah, and it's like, you don't, like, people aren't even going for, oh, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer, or I want to just be a vet. Like, even when I was a kid, like, I was the only one who wanted to be a movie star, like an actor.
Right.
Because I just loved Bill Murray and Ghostbusters and stuff.
Yeah.
Most
people
wanted to be like a fireman or a ballerina. Like, does that even exist in kids anymore? It's just like, well, I'm just going to be super famous when I'm 12.
Yeah. I'm famous now, and I'll go on YouTube and I'll go viral. And
well, and 18-year-old girls who have 30,000 like Instagram followers, and they're like, "I'm famous." It's like, no, it's because the world's filled with perverts.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know how many of your 30,000 followers are your friend's dad? How do you feel about that? Yeah,
your Instagram is around a dude's wall in a garage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Enjoy.
And then these girls who do have all these followers are the ones who, you know, shitty, nasty old women are putting their pictures up on their Facebook and luring these guys and saying, "Hey, this is what I look like. We should, you know,
be
cyber boyfriend and girlfriend." And then next thing you know, they're on fucking Dr. Phil, and this is what she really looks like. Well,
did any of you guys see the documentary Catfish?
Yeah, I did not see the documentary. I'm familiar with it.
I guess there's a TV show
Catfish.
Too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's what people actually do. It's literally when they build their relationships on pictures of their family,
yeah.
Give you an address, and then these dudes will show up. And this was actually in Michigan. A guy shows up to the address this girl gave him, and it's an abandoned farmhouse.
Oh.
And I don't remember exactly, but it's like some guy or like some really, really old woman. And it's like, the thing is that's like so common now where people are emotionally invested in a fake human being.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just some lunatic behind a keyboard. Like, I'm pretty. Here's more pretty pictures of me.
Oh my gosh.
Psychotic.
Mm-hmm. But there was a disconnect somewhere for people to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, that
I
it was
agree.
Like they were bullied and they want to make the popular kid. And that's what of the one episode I've seen of Catfish on MTV, that's what happened. This girl was bullied. And so she found a very pretty girl and pretended to be this really attractive guy.
When did that become such a thing, though? I mean, I hate to say it, but like with bullying, like I know that it's bad. But the thing is now people are killing themselves and that kind of a thing. But when you grew up, it was just a part. Some people were nice to you.
And some people weren't.
And some people were bullies. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And you took it, you know. Mm-hmm. But now it's like we're doing fundraisers to stop bullying. What is that? What are you paying off the bullies? What is this? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that that's a new generation thing where there's a disconnect. Like, somebody's going to be mean to me, so I'm going to literally end my life. That was not a common thing when I was a teenager.
But it is, too, where it's just that sense where the kid that bullies, it's, yeah, there were girls that were fucking mean to me in high school.
Yeah.
Everybody had it. And you know what? I can say I was probably really shitty and bitchy to some girls that were younger than me. That's shit rolls downhill, and that's what happens.
Right.
I think that your internet is another access to bully, and you can't even, if you're a bully and you can't even bully face to face, fuck you.
I'm a grown man. I can't put up a YouTube clip without somebody calling me
right,
a faggot.
Right, exactly. Like,
and I've had that happen. Literally, I put a gay marriage joke online, and it was about being pro gay marriage. And I thought I was going to get lynched at my next show. I was like, "All right, relax, everybody."
Oh my god!
What was the joke?
I just say, basically, I go, "Well, they dig some dude out of the woodwork, and he's like, if we let guys start getting married, he won't marry animals and appliances. Where do you draw the line?" And I'm like, just before animals and appliances. So it's like a simple, like almost TV friendly joke.
Right.
And it was like some guy wrote undercover faggot. And I just immediately went at him. And I was like, what is your, and I saw that he just had pictures of dogs on his website. And I go, so do you fuck animals? Is that what you're upset about? And he deleted the post like 10 minutes later.
Oh my
yeah. God.
But every little bit, like there
was this on Twitter or
no, this was just on YouTube. But every few days there would be a new like gay slur, and somebody who was gay would go at them. So it turned into a combat zone, and it was like, hey, how about I just make it so comments don't exist on this thing,
right.
Everybody? It's just a joke.
Lord,
what is that? And what is it? I mean, a picture or whatever or a tweet, a funny joke on Twitter. I'll hit the star. It's a good joke. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a cute picture of your grandkid. All right, I like it. But what is it about people in comment boards? I would never leave a fucking comment on a comment board, ever. Ever.
And they just get so passionate about it.
Yeah, yeah.
A comment.
Well, even the people that leave reviews on iTunes. Like, I literally, since that day it destroyed me and that guy said such hateful things, I haven't been on it since.
Well, it's like Yelp, too, with businesses, where it's like, if anybody's going to these sites, it's just to say something bad about somebody. That's why I can't figure out why people go on and say, well, this guy says this restaurant's a piece of shit and called them all racial slurs. Maybe we'll try another one. It's like,
well, Larry 45 in Poughkeepsie doesn't like this. So right. I'll be damned if I'll go there. I know that. He seems like a pretty sensible guy to me.
If there's one thing I don't do, that's make decisions for myself.
That's right. I'm looking for a comment to help me along. Right.
Oh, man. My gosh. That's true. I didn't even think about that. Like, I've never even gone to any of those places and looked to see.
Yelp isn't bad. There are bad ones, but I've found some pretty cool restaurants I wouldn't have known otherwise.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Partly because it's just a list of all the restaurants.
Right.
You know?
Right. I just mean like a lot of them, though.
There's no, you know, Yellow Pages really anymore. You don't go to the Yellow Pages.
So what is it about? I mean, we can all get into contact with each other, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Instantaneously at any time, day or night. And there was a point in time when you couldn't do that. You had to wait till you get home, make a phone call, or find a payphone. I mean, I wonder how relationships have changed because you can get a hold of your significant other, or you're supposed to be able to.
Oh, yeah. I think it's more intense. Yeah. It's more strain on a relationship.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Checking in.
Yeah, there's that. And it's just, I don't know. The stress of calling, like, it's almost more stressful before you call, being like, this motherfucker's not going to answer the phone.
Right.
And then you just put it up to your ear and you're like, ring.
Nothing.
Yep. He's having sex with somebody else, you know, and then that's where your brain goes,
and
you know.
Being ignored actually gives the brain the same emotional feeling as a broken bone. So people actually overreact pretty quickly because you're in more pain than you actually physically realize. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and the thing too, like in the 60s and everything, you talk about like Big Brother, man, you got to look out for Big Brother. Well, we've become our own Big Brother.
We are Big Brother. Mm-hmm. We're keeping eyes on everybody else and commenting and reviewing and suggesting and insisting. And
we're putting every photo of our lives about it. My wife even asked, and now I do have photos of her, but she's like, why don't you ever put me on Facebook? Like, and I'm like, because you're not on it, and I feel that I don't need to put your life publicly out there ever. Like, it bothers me.
I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, but I'm very careful of what I put on both because I don't want my grandson's. My grandson's picture is on Instagram, but he's holding a Redskins logo in front of his face. I mean, that's the as close.
Right.
There's something about that's mine, and I'm, you know, it's very private.
Yeah.
And you just don't. But other, I mean, not that I'm famous, but I'm famous.
You're famous.
But, you are well known, though, and that does give people a reason.
There's really an uncomfortable, you know, who gonna comment? Boy, your grandson looks like a. You know, what's wrong with his head or whatever, you know?
He does have a big head.
Oh, it's giant.
No,
but the thing is,
I'm just kidding. I don't know. That's for sure.
Of course not.
He's your mini-me. I mean, that's what that kid is.
Yeah, but I mean, why? I mean, I don't understand. What kind of a person would go on my Instagram? The worst thing you can say about me is that I've been on the radio for 30 years, and sometimes I'm moody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fix him. I'm going to go and insult his grandson on Instagram. Who does that? Who looks for?
There is that. Like I fortunately don't get much hate mail, which is nice. It's pretty rare. But every now and then I'll do like some local TV thing or something where like I made a joke about, they go, we're from Detroit, and I go, tourism's down, you know, my guess, murder. And then immediately I get this this hate mail, like, my daughter was killed there, and I hope you die, and like all this. And it's like, fucking relax, lady.
Jesus.
Like that joke was at her, you know?
That's
what I don't get. They take it so personally.
That's what people don't understand. It's like, look, we all have bad stuff happen to us. It's called life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not alone in your pain. You don't need to go at somebody else and be like, you've never experienced what, death? Yeah, we all know somebody.
We all will.
Yeah.
Jiminy.
Dave, you said you appreciate good, there's great new music out there. A few bands you like out there, what do you listen to?
Right now that's newer? I don't even know, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think, like, I've actually liked some of the pop songs I've been hearing lately. Some of them aren't bad, but I'm really a classic rock guy when you break it down in hip-hop, but, like, I really... The newest thing I really like was probably the Eminem and what's it called? Bad Meets Evil.
Rihanna. Okay.
That was a good album too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like some of the new hip hop I'm finding, and some of it I think is completely awful. But like Jay-Z seems to always put out stuff I enjoy, and it's weird. Like I like everything from country to punk to rap, like whatever it is, I kind of like it. But I don't know the names of every band. That's what Florence and the Machine blew me away. And
she's good.
Yeah, like I turned on SNL and saw her, and I was like, "What the hell is this?" And I bought both of her records just because it's so dark and bizarre and cool. Like it's just something. And SNL is a place where I tend to like. I'll turn it on, and it'll just be some amazing. And sometimes awful, but often like these amazing singers.
Yeah.
Like that was the first time I saw Adele, and I'm not a diehard Adele fan, but the first time you see her, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it'll, yeah.
See, but
it'll
what happened with Adele? I mean, she
had a baby. Give her a break.
No, but she was fucking everywhere. I mean.
Well, of course she was, and then she, but her.
It was too much. I like chocolate cake, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean?
It's hard to sustain.
Yeah.
But that's what they
do. Yeah, but well, that's what, because everybody's tweeting or Instagramming or Facebooking about Adele, and it seems, and it, she's everywhere, even more so than everywhere used to be before. Did that make sense? Probably not.
Everywhere
people are your own publicists now.
Yeah.
But you put out an album, you know, whoever puts out an album today, if you have a song or two, you're lucky. I mean, she had like five or more on the album.
That's true.
You're going to have some sustained, you know, recognition.
Jess's favorite was Chasing Cavemen, right?
Chasing Pavement, I thought was Chasing Cavemen.
No,
oh my God.
I was like them,
what?
And but it kind of made Chasing Cavemen.
Yeah, and I was like, well, maybe she's dating some real assholes. Yeah, you know, Thumper with a.
Some basic and a hit you in the head with a club.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You've got a twin brother.
Yes.
You both were partiers. What are any good, great stories with him, you and him partying as teenagers or adults or whatever?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, I guess I could probably tell the one I told. Of Bob and Tom, but the real version.
Tell the real version.
The more, my brother and I were to White Castle. We're 17 years old,
right.
And he was hammered and shotgun in my car, and we just ordered a Crave case, which is a briefcase of hamburgers.
Right.
So as we're pulling out, my brother notices a prostitute, so he just starts hucking cheeseburgers at her. He's just like, "How much for a hand job, bitch, pap?" And just onions and shit exploding off of her.
Oh, geez.
And we were all dying laughing right up until she pulled out her badge. And she was an undercover cop.
Oh my God.
You could have seen the look on my dad's face when the prosecuting attorney read, "Would you blow us both for extra cheese?"
Oh my God.
And we got arrested for soliciting sex. We got off because cheeseburgers aren't technically money.
Oh.
Not a form of currency.
Yeah. So basically that is the joke like I do in my show, you know, but like really what happened was that, except the shit my brother was yelling was hysterical, and my friend Ryan was also in the back. So I didn't get charged because I wasn't drinking, but instead of charging us for anything, she charged us for underage sex. So we're all in a underage soliciting of sex and all this other stuff. So we get there because I guess it's less if you're a minor. So my brother's in court and he's being charged with solicitation of a prostitute. And the judge is reading off the court transcript of what my brother said.
Straight face?
Trying to. Because he's like, "I'm going to shove French fries in your ass. I'm going to..." All this shit. And like eventually the bailiff's just like... And then you could start hearing other people in the courtroom start laughing.
Oh, God.
The judge is trying to hold it together and the female cop is just like, "Sons of bitches." Even like women in there were laughing, and the judge basically was like, "Look, I'm not going to charge a kid with soliciting sex. He clearly didn't offer you any money."
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
"And why didn't you get him on drinking?" You know, she said, "Well, I don't know. I went for the higher charge or whatever." And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to do it." He's like, "But if you come into my courtroom ever again," you know, and my brother didn't, thank God. Right. But yeah, that was one interesting night of many that my brother's another guy who... I guess I probably shouldn't tell the story anyway. He allegedly got away from a cop, but this didn't really happen for the record.
All right.
This is probably 10 years ago,
a
right?
Fantasy tale. Right?
Well, this was up in Lansing and he was out running a cop and they could actually watch it from the top of his fraternity, and there were two semi trucks coming at each other and he cut in between them like James Bond.
Oh,
so he lost the cop, crashed into a house and ran.
Oh.
And because he took the keys, they couldn't say he was actually in it.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was, and again, this is a fake story made for radio.
Right. Yeah.
Both were, I guess. The other one you could probably just Google.
Yeah.
But.
Oh my gosh.
I have one last thing. The first time you came in here was with Pardo, right?
Yes.
Jimmy Pardo.
Yes.
And so you've got to have, Jimmy's a good friend of ours, and you've got to have maybe a Pardo story or two that he would hate for you to tell us.
No, don't do that.
No, I don't have really. No, honestly, he's a good person.
No, we know he's a great person.
He was the first comic I ever saw, actually. Oh. And he brought me on the road and got me onto this show, essentially.
Right.
And I just love him because he's just like, the first time I met him, we were at Last Comic Standing, and he's like, I like your watch. And I go, thanks. He's like, mine's just a little bit better.
That's Jimmy.
Yeah, and then that's how I met him. And and then we were, I always loved being on stage because I would sell a CD, and he'd just go, Dave, what are you selling for? And I'd go, $10. And he'd go, No, why are you selling?
Jimmy Pardo.
And he's really the best. I mean, I couldn't be happier for his success and the fact
that he co-host
Conan. I mean,
he's
awesome, man. And I mean, he's a guy who's more than overpaid his dues.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Agreed. I have a question. You were talking about when you said earlier, and this might be dumb, but you said the 8 Mile. Is that like the 8 Mile? Like,
yeah, I grew up off of the 8 Mile. I grew up
like
in
that's
a
one
area,
place,
though.
Right?
Yeah, it's a street just in Detroit that it goes through. I mean, suburb into bad neighborhood into back into suburb. Like that's where Eminem was from because he was from a city called Warren.
Right.
But I mean, the real bad area is 7 Mile. If you go there, that's, I mean, there's parts of it that are bad. But yeah, it's kind of the dividing line between the suburbs and the inner city is 8 Mile. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious.
And Detroit's an interesting place, and Grosse Pointe's where I grew up. I don't know if anybody knows, like, you knew Grosse Pointe.
Come
Blaine.
On back, Pointers.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite movies, Grosse Pointe Blaine.
It's such a good movie.
Oh, God, it's great.
And there's a street called Mack Avenue in Grosse Pointe, and on one side, there's all these beautiful shops and, like, restaurants and all that, and on the other side is pure ghetto. And Time Magazine actually did a thing on it, because if you stand in the middle of the street and take a picture, it's night
and
day.
It's like a split screen, yeah.
Yeah, it's a, and I
no
used to,
way.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, shit.
And I used to do shows on the bad side of the street when I first started comedy, because I would do improv shows and stand-up shows, but I needed to get underage kids in who could drink, so I would do it on the bad side, so basically the cops couldn't come over and do anything about it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. There's some areas in Indianapolis that are like that I've noticed lately. I was at an... what you would consider an upscale deli, you know what I mean? And I come out and it's just, you know, a lot of really great food and whatever. And I come out and I kid you not, I look two blocks to the east and there had been a car chase. There's police everywhere. Two cars flipped over. I mean, like seven guys, handcuffs, everything. Mm. And it's just like, what the hell just happened?
What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was like nobody else was affected. Everybody was like, yeah, this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have you ever seen those Cleveland tourism videos on YouTube?
Yeah,
and the
Mike
tagline
Polk.
At
yeah,
the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, yeah. At least for not Detroit.
At least for not Detroit.
Which
okay.
was funny because when they found those kidnapped girls and the one serial killer with all the bodies in the
right,
basement,
right.
I took the two pictures and put it on his Facebook page and wrote, "At least we're not Cleveland." And he took it down.
But, oh.
How do we find out about Dave Landau on the internet? Dave Landau.
DaveLandau.com.
Dave Landau.
And then Twitter's Landau Dave. Facebook's Dave.Landau. And my new album will be on the August 13th. You can pre-order it now. It's called The Voodoo of Landau.
All right.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jess.
Yep.
Thanks, Jason.
I enjoyed it immensely.
That was something else, wasn't it?
Yes.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll be back with another one very soon.